I like using scanner codes, like, because it makes my life so much easier. It's like, all right, I don't have to go looking for it.
You lick
I'll do it
it?
on my TV.
He licks it. We are now streaming live.
Yay.
So we will give it a couple of minutes.
I kind of want to start playing that Eminem song, Guess Who's Back, or
Back.
whatever it was called.
The other
Oh,
day
yeah.
I was singing it. That was me the other day when you told me to put the title. I was
Yeah.
dancing around the house singing. I was like, wow, thank you.
You say singing? You
Yes,
pronounce your G's and your I-N-G's?
yes, singing.
That's so funny because I was just talking to my husband about something similar yesterday about how certain people pronounce every single letter in a word. It's so funny.
Oh.
It's
I was
very
taught
funny.
to enunciate a thing properly, or I used to get in trouble.
Oh.
But ing, you don't say ing.
Singing.
Before we do our actual intro, hi, I'm back. Did you miss me? No, probably not. I'm really loud. So, hi to the people in the chat. We see Clyde and Tammy already. Hello.
And you're thinking of an Eminem song, but I'm thinking of Young Gods.
And I have no idea what you're talking about,
She has
as
no
per
idea what I'm
usual.
talking.
As per usual. Anyways, who wants to do the real
You
intro?
missed me when I was away. Or did you hang my picture on your nose? Okay, sorry.
That's weird. Don't hang my picture on your nose, please. That's creepy. If I find out
Do we
you
want to go
hug my
ahead
picture from your nose, I'm going to fight.
it. Take a picture. Kidding.
So, what
Oh,
are
you
we
want
talking about
to?
today?
Oh, well, first, let us introduce ourselves. We are the Bitchy Witchies. There are four of us. Now, if you've been watching the last few episodes, you'd be like, no, there aren't. But trust me, there's four of us, and there's four of us today. So we have myself, Bella Luna, we have Miss Mountain Gypsy, we have Miss Hestia Rose, and we have Mr. Jason Altier Duquesne. And the four of us make up the Bitchy Witchies.
Bitchy witchies. Love
So
it.
if you are new to our channel, please definitely stick around and listen to our podcast and check out our other videos. And obviously, if you like what you see, then definitely hit that subscribe button if you haven't already.
And share us too, because sharing is caring.
Also,
Often.
follow us on Patreon. You do not have to subscribe if you don't want to, but if you follow us on Patreon, I always post the outline of what the season's going to be, that you get extra content. There is free content there too from time to time. Of course, if you subscribe, there's more, but that is the best place to keep up with us.
And the links, we do have the links in our descriptions on all of our videos.
Yes. That way you can go straight to it.
And speaking of Patreon, really quickly, I just want to just a little bit of a tribute. One of our Patreon members went by the screen name of Nin. Unfortunately, she has passed away. Just want to say that we're thinking of her and her daughters, and we appreciate her support that she'd given to the Bitchy Witchies, and so much love to her friends and family.
Yeah, because she was one of our one someone who was there at the beginning of everything. So
She was actually our very first patron.
yes, she
Yeah.
was. So.
And not to turn this into a sales pitch, but she was a subscribed member, and so she was able to have access to all of our ebooks and especially our BOS pages. And she printed them all out and made a book for them. And she said they look they looked absolutely lovely. So on that note, what are we talking about today?
What are spiritual we talking about disconnection. Today?
Yes.
We've all been there. So
what does it feel like when we feel spiritually disconnected to our practice, disconnected to our spiritual path, our spiritual growth? What does that mean? What does that feel like? And is it the end of the world?
No, it's not, but it does really feel sucky because most of the time when you're disconnected, you are not only disconnected from your spiritual path, but yourself. So, and a lot of times you get there, you're there because there's something going on with yourself or in your life.
Right.
That's yeah, exactly. I was going to say it feels like depression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I've been feeling a little bit of a spiritual disconnect for a little bit.
And bad summer. It could be because of depression.
That is true too.
Yeah, we've all been there, and I mean, personally, I've been there quite a few times in the last couple years, and I mean, it's hard, especially when you already have personal and mental issues, I guess you could say, like, especially for those, of us who do suffer from depression and anxiety. So.
And you know, we have, so Lady Grave Dancer, she said something several years ago that was, you know, what I thought was a great thing to say, you know, which was, you know, she gave a reminder to everybody that it's those times that you don't run away from your practice. You know, those are the times that you turn to your practice. But I will say, though, that's a lot easier said than done. Mm-hmm. And we've said it, you know, and we try to encourage you, but at the same time, we know that that's easier said than done. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason. Yeah.
Typically, I would turn to my practice because usually, like, that's how I kind of feel like that empowerment back up. But it's like, I don't know, like during the summer, it was just so different. Like, I don't think my mental health's ever been that bad before. And it's just like everything just felt like a chore. Like, even just to get up and shower was like hard. So it's like, I don't think that was like, so I think like that, like you said, that spiritual disconnect, I think did come from depression because it was like, I did not want to do anything.
And that brings up a really good point because it's almost like, and at risk of sounding like we talk out of both sides of our mouth, you know, we also say you need to be in a pretty decent headspace, you know, to do your magical workings, to do your spiritual work. But then if you're not in a good headspace, you know, then we're also saying that this is the time that you want to turn to it. So it is a balancing act like everything else, you know.
Exactly. But
so what kind of things do you guys do when you know that maybe I'm not in a good headspace to do an actual working, but like, what can I do to help at least, you know, get me more back in tune with my spiritual journey?
Well, with me, it was kind of it just took a lot of self-talk and a lot of motivation. What really made me like kind of what kicked my ass back into it was in our backyard, like I saw like three stags, which was really, really weird. You do not see stags over here because like it's still like it's we're not that close to the mountains. And I love stags, and I'm not like trying to sound like that's a sign type of thing, but it was like a bit of a magical moment for me. So I was like, I need to get back into my practice because I love stags. Yeah, that's one of my.
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like sometimes like something does just have to like happen to like kind of reboot you, I guess.
Yeah. What kind of things did you feel comfortable in doing magically or spiritually wise when you're in that kind of state? That's an
really for me, it's like the magical self-care comes first, like getting back into that headspace, taking, you know, ritual bath,
yeah, definitely
meditation, even like turning to like greenery, gardening.
Yeah, ritual bathing is that's also one of mine too. What about you, Miss Mountain Gypsy?
Well, you know where I live, so when I get in that headspace, it's like I have to come outside. Like I have a frog pond that I will just go sit at, and I mean, talking with people that, you know, keep me grounded and get me back into that headspace helps, especially being outside or whatever. Or I will go clean my altar space and my working area, because if I'm working, like just cleaning them and organizing everything, it makes me feel like, well, I'm sorry I've neglected this, I need to be back in this and everything. Or, you know, like the husband will be all, you haven't done this in a while, here, how about we go do something, you know, like he's in the last couple of years started noticing when I get into that moment, like I'm not reading, I'm not doing workings, I'm not even near my workspace. So he'll sit there and be all, hey, let's go clean your cabinets and your shelves or something like that, or let's watch a witchy movie or something to like put me back there.
That's something I do too. I didn't want to mention it because I
yeah, I do that too.
like I watch I do too. I watched like a witchy movie for motivation.
Yeah, like real shit though, I wasn't gonna mention it for the exact same reason. I was like, nah, they gonna laugh at me, I'm not gonna.
No,
that.
And it's funny because he'll put on like some one of my favorite movies, like I know it sounds weird, but like Practical Magic, like he'll put that on there and it'll make
me too.
You too.
Making me out, oh, okay, cool, I'm good again, let's do this. And like it puts me not only back in a spiritual mode, but like, you know, my mundane life, I'm like, cool, you know, like it's weird. It's his way.
You know what though, that may sound like silly at first glance, but you know, people do it with just about everything. You know, it's a feel good moment. You know, other people will turn to other types of movies to get them back into like a better, more calm headspace or just happier. Those are feel good movies to us. So that makes plenty of sense.
Yeah, like that's his way of pushing it, like not pushing me, but like helping me get through that, because he knows those movies like set the mood for my head. So he's like, here you go, or here, how about we read this book?
Exactly. Like, and I'll do that too. I'll put like a witch movie marathon.
Marathon.
Yeah. So like it does.
What about you, Miss Hestia? What about you? What kind of things do you do?
It really depends. I deal with a lot of mental illnesses and physical illnesses. So sometimes I'll start getting down on myself about not doing enough spiritually. Like, this is supposed to be your life. It's supposed to be an intricate part of everyday life for you. And here you are, haven't done shit in a month, and you feel like crap. And like Jason was saying, when you're dealing with any kind of depression, a lot of times, like, it's a lot to do everyday upkeep. Brush your teeth, take a shower, make sure you eat. And if you don't have the energy to do that, how are you going to have the energy to expel to actually do energy workings?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complex thing that you're trying to balance. And it is incredibly, incredibly complex. So mm-hmm. sometimes you have to let it run its course. You know, you're not going to feel the same way every day. Sometimes you have to learn how to just feel and sit with and understand the feelings that you're going through, analyze why you're going through it, and work through it. Get out on the other side and you'll be okay. Other times you got to rely on people. And for the first time, like, if you guys listened to my last live last Sunday, I talked about how I recently came out to my friends and family about my craft, and everything surprisingly went really well. But now I have people that I can rely on too, that will actually understand me. And, you know, I mean, I always had this group of people, but this is a very small group of people, and nobody wants to be the person to pile all your problems on the same people all the fucking time. Cause then you become their problem now. And it's like, you know, this is why it is somewhat important to have a circle, have some type of people around you. And I understand there's a lot of people who are like, fuck people. I'm one of those people. Like, I don't like a lot of people either. But sometimes it really is beneficial to get to know people that live the kind of life you live, so that you are understood and have support when you need it. So recently, like I said, I came out to my friends and family. So now my husband is more relaxed with his family and stuff. And when I'm going through things, he of course will step in and try to help. But now I have friends, and incidentally, some of my mundane friends, when I came out, they came out because they were like, hey, I've been doing this shit for years too, but I just don't tell nobody because why the fuck would I? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. So now I have more practitioner friends who have different strengths than I do. And I actually broke another rule of mine, which is I bought product from another worker for the first time ever. And I gotta say, like, my opinion has changed on it, because her products 100% helped me get me out of that rut, because she's better at expressing self-love and gratitude and love to other people than I have ever been. And so no matter what kind of working I did with that, she's just stronger in that field, and I needed that help. So
that's amazing.
That is such a and I love that story, because you've said it many times, Hestia, you know, and we've all said in one way or another how we quote unquote can sniff each other out, you know. Mm-hmm. and our age range, I mean, granted, I know I'm, you know, older than you guys, but the general age range, I think minus Jason, just because of the way you grew up in your family, you know, I think we've been generally kind of hush hush about who we've been and who we are, you know, throughout most of our lives. But these people, because I have over time found out similar things. People that I've been friends with since I was a teenager, you know, finding out that they too have been practicing the whole time and not ever having talked to each other about it. Little hints here and there, just because that's mm-hmm. the way we were. But
and we definitely picked up on them too. It's not that you didn't pick up on them. You just didn't speak on them out of mutual respect.
And you didn't call it out. Exactly.
Mutual
respect.
And that's funny because a little fear and respect for if they are too. So out of my group of six friends, two of them are also practitioners. And I'm going to tell you right now, I knew before they told me. Mm-hmm. And when I told them, they were like, yeah, we knew. Of course, the ones that aren't magical practitioners of any kind, we knew that too. And it's funny because we kind of had a little sidebar and was like, hey, just make a list off the top of your head. Who's mundane? Who's magical? The list was identical between the three of us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was identical. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely still can sniff each other out, even if we don't call each other on it. Because I'm telling you, I was suspicious of both of them from the moment we met.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and like you said, having people, having that group, or the just a certain group of people to pull you out and like redirect you is really good.
Yeah. Sometimes though, like, it can make me feel worse. At least like if I reach out to some of my family, Like my dad, like I feel like I cannot reach out to him because he'll make me feel worse.
That's a tough one though, because again,
that is the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, because your circle of people that practice happen to also be your family. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit of a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it'll be like, because well, which just like,
it's more like, which hat should I wear today? The dad hat or you know, the spiritual friend hat?
Right.
And it's probably, and it's really hard to take off the parent hat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It really is hard.
I mean, at best, yeah, you might be able to flip it backwards, but, you know, it's pretty much on there.
Yeah. I don't know. Just sometimes I just wish you could be a little bit more, like, sympathetic towards
it. Exactly. Yeah.
He'll basically just, like, tell me, like knock it off. It's who you are.
And see, I have those.
That's also because your dad's Gen X. That's just how we respond.
Yeah, and see, suck it up, Buttercup. I have a couple people that when I need that ass kicking, I will text with them. Like, all right, I need your advice, and I don't care how mean it sounds. Just fucking tell me, you know. So you have to also know who you can talk to for that tough love, to get out of that funk, or just to give you some kind of, you know, perspective of everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got to figure those people out. Like, who can I go to that's going to give me what I need and not what I need to hear?
Right.
So that is quick, I want to read. We had some responses to what they do for self-care and stuff when they're feeling spiritually disconnected. So Tammy says, I do nature walks, self-care, walking in forests and on beaches. I think she meant to say that is my go-to for grounding and healing.
Oh, nice.
And the ocean. She said, and the ocean. I respect the ocean, but I fear it a little bit. So the ocean does not bring me peace. The ocean would give me the utmost anxiety, maybe a stroke. But I know a lot of people that really do find the ocean calming and relaxing, and they love it. It stresses me out.
I wish I lived near an ocean or like a river at least.
Not for sure. Something that I miss, you know, from being back home. Obviously, no, the nearest ocean from here is like 6 hours away. And granted, I was never, well, maybe when I was a teenager, because what my boyfriend at the time was a surfer. But other than that, I never really spent time at the beach during the day. It was always at nighttime, you know, that I would go to the beach. But still, you know, the same kind of ambience. In fact, even better, because in the daytime, especially on the West Coast, especially in Southern California, you know, there's a million people out there. There's not a million people at night.
Right.
It's funny because when I was younger, like my teen years and my early 20s, I would go hang out in the cemetery.
I love cemeteries. Oh, yeah. That's
me too.
That's
it's a famous cemetery back home, Concordia Cemetery, because we have like all these famous gunslingers buried there. I would just go hang out there just to relax. I don't know why.
It's peaceful. It's peaceful. Yeah,
it's peaceful, and I love, like, and I'd much rather deal with the dead than the living.
I used to love going to the cemetery where most of my family is buried. It was very serene.
And I don't know why I couldn't go to the cemetery where my great-grandparents and grandparents were all buried. Like, I guess back then I was still very, like, being respectful to their religious beliefs and how they wanted me to be raised. So I wouldn't go there. I would go to Concordia, which is, you know, like I said, the old famous historical one, and just lay there because there's a few different cool like bench areas that they had, and just sit there under the trees.
Yeah, it would be nice to. I mean, I obviously can't visit my dad's cemetery because it's in California and I'm not there, and my mom is down the hall, so in her little urn. So
yeah, yeah, my mom is also down the hall.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I actually have a segue to go to with that, but real quick, I want to read the last thing Tammy said, because I love this. She said, I just came out to my auntie and uncle last weekend and found out my auntie also practiced. It felt like it made me and my aunt closer. Yeah.
Right on.
For sure.
I love that. I love that. Because it was funny because me and some of my friends also belong to the LGBTQIA community. And so when I told them that it was called coming out of the broom closet, the ones that are part of the community were like, that is hilarious. Why do you call it that? And I was like, because we do make the comparison of how scary it can be to come out to people, because, you know, people got to deal with religious backlash and family disowning you and stuff like that, violence even. So it can be very traumatic, because I told them, I was like, I flat out expected to lose at least one friend today. And they were like, oh my God. And I was like, no, that's the reality of it. Okay. And they were like, okay, sure. Like noted, like noted. And it's like, it was nice to have that respect.
But, and because of that, I mean, my cousins, there's a certain set of cousins that are not just, they're Catholic religious fanatics. So they will never know, never, because I know I've already seen how they responded to my daughter for things that were just like, they, at one point, one of my cousins called her a slut when she was 14 years old. Jeez. Because of a certain way that she dressed. And that was just the way that she dressed. Imagine how they would react if they ever found out. So as much as I love them, they're never going to know.
Yeah, and it's not unheard of. It is well documented that people have attacked and murdered their own children over witchcraft accusations. Not even proof or it being real, but just accusations and thoughts. And it might have been. And yeah, so.
And the sad thing is, even here in the U.S.
Yeah,
the
U.S. I meant here in the U.S. I 100% meant here around us.
But that's a scary thing, is that, you know, it's like a lot of times when people hear that, they think automatically like, oh, yeah, I know that happens in Africa. And so, no, it happens here, too. Maybe not as frequently, but it does.
Well, like even the way.
But often enough.
Yeah. And QAnon has helped to expand that.
Oh, yeah. Like even the way I was raised, it's like we weren't really told to like keep our mouths shut, but like we were also taught not to really like advertise it either, growing up, like when we were really little, we grew up in like a super like redneck town, and we were outcasted, really, like my sister and I were known as like the children of the corn. Like they used to call us corn children.
Oh my God.
So you really were like, I be the witch of the wood, like for real.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it really sucks because, you know, thinking of like talking about coming out, that like the response you get from people when you do come out can also cause a lot of disconnection to your practice, because you're like, oh my God, I was rejected. Like, so you pull back.
And that actually happened too. Not for real, but it did. Because I did this via text. Because you guys know I'm still, even when I'm being social, I'm antisocial. I will be social from my bed. So I did all of this via a group text with all of my friends, all of my, what I thought were mundane friends at the time. We're in a group chat. And so I just texted the group chat, and it was this long explanation of like, please don't judge me. This is why I promise it's not like the movies. I don't worship the devil. I don't work for Satan, blah, 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 blah. Like I had this long winded thing. And of course one of the people, she's a root worker. So she was like, it's the same. She's like, your background is similar to root working. I get it. I understood, respected, got you. And that right there, I was like, oh, okay, she's one of us. I already had suspicions, but I was like, I know you now. So then the other one had came out to me a while back. Me and her had actually communicated this a while back. But when I came out to the group, I had texted them, and we're all across the nation and in different time zones and doing different things. A lot of my friends have kids and families and lives outside of me. But as you can ask anybody here, if I have something going on that's stressing me out and I bring you into it, I want you to respond right now. Because if not, I'm going to panic. Like, why are you ignoring me when I need you?
Oh, 2 minute panic. You got yeah, the response full panic. You need it, but it was a 2 minute panic.
When I say I have anxiety, like diagnosed problems, I do mean it. This is life with me. So
calm down.
So I will panic. So I texted them this long-winded thing of how I'm a practitioner and now it's just out there and nobody fucking responded for 22 minutes. And I was over there about to throw up. I was like, my friends hate me now. I know a couple of them they're religious, but not to the point that it's worrisome or bothersome. They don't bother nobody. That's just their beliefs. And I thought for sure those two were going to push me away. And they were like, no, we don't care. One of them's a Capricorn though. So she really don't care. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. Like I had to ask her to respond to what I said, cause she didn't care. I was like, did this push you away? Are you good with me? And she's like, I respect what you do. And then she went back to cooking. And like, that was the end of it. She has not talked to me about it since. She does not care. It doesn't pay her. She doesn't care. So
she's like, you do you.
So yeah, I really forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, so it's good to have a group of people, because now my friend who is a root worker, she makes some self-care products. In fact, yeah, she's over there shaking her head because I sent her the link to her
shop.
And she's good. She's really good. In fact, oh, you know what? I have to figure out a way to advertise for her. Like to send you guys her link. You know what? If you guys are interested in really good self-care products, message me privately and I'll send you her information.
It's amazing, especially her soap.
For those of you that have followed us for a while, you know, you may or may not remember, you know, that I've mentioned a couple of times that I have somewhat recently discovered that I had a half sister. I have a half sister. And I'm really anxious and looking forward to meeting her because she actually has an online business. I looked at it and I can't help but have those same, you know, feels like you do this, know don't you? Yeah.
You know some
and,
shit.
And that's exciting for me because, you know, I grew
Isn't
up
it?
An only child. And then I do have siblings now who are, but they're all, because I'm adopted, you know, I know that they're not my blood siblings, but at most they're half because they're from another marriage of my adopted father. But to think that, you know, I have, somebody blood related that, that also was drawn to it naturally. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to meet her and have those conversations. Because to your point, Hestia, you know, it's like to have that kind of a connection, people reaching out, especially for like what we're talking about, you know, those moments. And it's not unusual to feel disconnected. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad omen. It just means, you know, as much as we hate to admit it and how we talk about, you know, oh, humans, I hate to say it, but, you know, we are in a human body and this is what we experience. And yeah, so
you're
to
definitely
be able to
here
have...
for the human experience for some stupid reason. Something about the human experience is what you're here to learn. So you kind of have to learn to roll with the punches. Unfortunately, in this form, in this lifetime, I'm not a cool little butterfly just doing her little butterfly thing on a flower. No, I'm living some raggedy ass life, a human yeah. life in 2023. It's not great, but this is what we're here for right now. So make the best of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, go ahead.
I do want to say that the thing I want to segue into is what has caused you spiritual disconnect? Because I have had it happen numerous times and it's been for various reasons. It hasn't always been the same thing.
Is that a question or are you saying, or is that more of a prompt?
It's more of a, I don't want to forget this.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
family
that's a really
stuff,
good point.
Dude. Not a lot of my, you know, family stuff.
Yeah. Or just life stuff.
Yeah, just life in general. Yeah. Like, shit gets so, like, intense and busy, or, you know, shit happens with everything else, and you're like, that, like, on the back burner, because this is, like, more important right now.
Okay, yeah. This just kind of popped in my head, but I feel like it's pretty legit of a thought. When you said life, okay, we were just discussing how we're here to experience something that has to do with the human experience. Something that you need to learn is related to this human experience that you're living. So maybe when you are being pulled out of your spiritual aspect, it's like, hey, focus on what's happening right now. This is something to do with, yeah, this means something. That you need to focus on this as your human self. Learn the human lesson that you're supposed to be learning, get through it, then get back to spirituality.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's also like, to me, to reuse the word, you know, it's almost a prompt also to maybe some more shadow work too, because yes, there are legit tragedies, and things are going to hit you pretty hard, but also, you know, why is it hitting you so hard like this? Let's think about this, you know, or when I'm to yourself, you're saying that, you know, so it is not just dealing with what's happening right now to you, but also looking inwards and saying, well, yeah, why am I disconnected? Why are these emotions so strong? We know the surface reasons. We know that. But dig down a little bit deeper. What is it triggered in you?
Yeah.
That maybe you didn't want to face.
Mundane life experiences become spiritual lessons all the time.
Yes. Yes. That needs to go on a coffee mug.
Yes. It does, because it's true. I mean, like, with everything that I've been dealing with my uncle and stuff, like, it's made me like, I need to grasp onto this, because why am I so upset about this? I mean, I know what's going on with him. I know why it's going on. But then I had to have a moment last week, because I'm like, okay, why am I so upset about what's going on with my uncle? I'm upset because he's the only person outside parental people that's literally been there for me since the day I was born. And he's like more than an uncle. He's like my big brother. So like, I literally had to take an introspect last week of myself and why I was just like such a freaking crackhead about it. So, you know, like you said, shadow work. Why are you having this disconnection? Because for a moment, I really was like, I did step away. Well, when I told you guys all what was going on, like I was starting to pull away from things. And of course, Hestia was like, I don't think you need that right now. So, you know, like shadow work and thinking about why it's going on and why you're reacting that way is a good reason.
Even more also, simplistic.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say even more simplistic. You know, we're not saying like, go ahead and now perform this huge 2-hour ritual to get yourself back in the headspace. You know, even something really simple, like go back to the basics. You know, somebody mentioned
like a real meditation, bath too, not the Pinterest ones.
Yeah. But go back to the basics. Somebody mentioned meditation, you know, just regrounding. Yes. Recentering.
Who mentioned meditation? You know what? That's one that's easy to forget too.
Yeah.
That's an easy one to forget.
You think about it, like you especially these days, you're like, oh, I need this big elaborate ritual or a spell working. And you always put the simplest things on the back of your mind.
Huh.
Go sit your ass in the grass in your yard. Just barefoot it. Enjoy it.
If it's 110 degrees, then figure something else out right now.
Hey, it's funny though, because lately I've been seeing that used as kind of like an aggressive, like check yourself thing. Like I've seen people aggressively tell somebody like, go touch grass. Like go touch grass now. Like go touch grass. Because people really do get out of touch. And sometimes you really do just need to go and like ground. Touch real ground, like dirt. grass, sand, something.
Go hug a tree, as my brother said. Go be a tree-hugging hippie. Go hug a tree. Do something.
You know, as silly as that sounds, it works.
Yeah. It really does work. So go hug a tree. Go pet a plant, or, you know, especially if it looks pettable.
So I want to say that some of the things that have triggered spiritual disconnect episodes for me, of course, there are the regular ones that are going to cause me problems on a regular basis, like depression. I deal with depression that has nothing to do with my spirituality. It's just something that I have to deal with every day, whether it's in my mundane life or my spiritual life. So when I get into a depression episode, that's just what it is. It's going to affect everything. It's going to affect my spirituality. It's going to affect my mental state. It's going to affect my physical health. It's just something I have to learn how to get through, and I do. But another thing that I've noticed, and it's typically in newer people, but I guess it could happen at any time, depending on what kind of study load you take on, but it's a lot of study. And people get burnt out. They're like, I've read 35 fucking books. They're all novels. I feel like I have no energy. I've literally heard people say that, like, they can't even stand to think anything about it. Like, they don't want to read anything. They don't want to see a fucking tarot card. They don't, like, they just get real mad. Like, they get real mad about it. And as somebody who binge studies, and I get that. Like, there's times where for like 2 months, I was like, I don't want to hear anything about astrology. My friends were asking me about planets and shit, and I'm like, I don't fucking know. Leave me alone. And it was weird because they were like, dang, are you okay? Because on a normal basis, I'm like, this is where the planets are right now. This is what's happening. This is why this is, blah, 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 blah. And they were just like, are you okay? And
I'm
like,
you don't look yourself.
Yeah. And I was just like, figure it out. Use the internet. I don't know. I can't help you. But I was just burnt out because I don't just study one kind of astrology. I study modern astrology, Hellenistic, Aztec and Mayan, Chinese, Vedic. Like, it's exhausting. Like, these are studies that we actually have texts from thousands of years ago. There is innumerable amounts of information on astrology. You will never be like, I read everything on astrology. No, the fuck you
didn't. Nope.
No, you didn't. There's no way.
I didn't know that.
So, like, you just can't ever know anything. That's why most people pick, like, this is what I'm studying and I'm sticking with this. And now I get it. Like, I'm getting to that point where I'm narrowing down my field of research because it's just too much. And that has made me disconnect from numerous things, not just astrology, but my spiritual practice. Because earlier this year, I started really considering taking certain steps to, like, further my spirituality and like be more devoted to certain things and aspects and maybe spirits and so on and so forth. So I really started, like, studying to the point where I would have migraines for days, and it just got to where I was like, okay, this studying is hurting me. I don't want to do it. I'm not sleeping. All I want to do is read. It gets in the way. And it disrupts your everyday life. So sometimes that's a big factor too. People get burnt out on studying all the time. And I do see it more so in new people though. Probably because they're being forced to read 47 Cunningham books, but.
I mean, we've all been there where we're like, brain is overload. Brain is overload. But that's also for me, like, when, you know, like Hestia, we know not to bother her for like 2 weeks when she goes down those rabbit holes. I mean, I'll do it too. And I'm like, I don't want to see a book. I don't want to see any kind of book right now. Mm-mm.
Get it out of my face. We only study twice a year, but we just binge it.
We binge everything like twice a year. So,
and then go on break for a while.
But yeah, like, no. I get that too.
I think, and I'm not sure how to really phrase this or how to work this in, but sometimes it's when things are going on in your mundane life and you do turn to your magical practice and you turn to it hard and you are immersed in it because you are trying to remedy the situation, that I think can sometimes lead to a little bit of a, not necessarily a burnout, but a disconnection, because there's a lot of reconciling with that. And yeah, I'm talking about myself. You know, many of you know that there was a really traumatic event that happened earlier this year. And with my now husband, you know, with the severe medical issues. And so that's all I was doing was I was either doing working, focusing on those things or driving to the hospital. Those were the only two. I was barely actually working my job. They were very, very patient with me. I mean, truly, that's all I was doing was magical workings and driving to the hospital. Yep. And when he came home, and he's even said this to me very recently, and if he's still watching, I know I'm gonna get it for be like, ha, I told you. He's noticed. He's like, you know, you are getting angry a lot more easily. You need to like resettle. Reground. And so I myself am feeling a little bit of a disconnection, because I'm still reeling, even though he's been home for a couple of months, I'm still kind of reeling from it, you know, and getting used to the new normals and all of that. And, you know, and spiritually, it's like, I'm still feeling like, did I do enough? Do I have to, you know, have I been thankful enough? Have I, you know, I don't want things to go backwards, because maybe I wasn't showing enough thanks and gratitude. And, you know, so it's kind of, I'm not saying like don't do too much, but, you know, just understand how those two worlds can mesh with each other. And yeah, as you're working your way out of that, and I'm literally talking as I'm doing it myself, is trying to figure out, you know, what can I do to get out of this rut, to get back into that?
That's basically what happened that's kind of what happened to me too, with my whole like financial situation and how stressful it was. And I was like doing every single thing I could think of to try to remedy that. And then it's like things just kept getting worse. And then so that caused me to fall into like a really big depression. And like I kind of had to stop and think, I wonder if it's because I was stressed out is why things are getting worse. Or maybe it's like
stress definitely has a lot to do with it.
Or maybe it's, you know, sometimes with magical workings too, like sometimes the situation has to get worse so that way it can get better.
Sure, absolutely. And that's a hard reality to swallow, and a hard and we can say it. So I mean, we've said it before, you know.
Right.
It's harder to live it.
Exactly. And I think I was just kind of thinking to myself too, like, you know, I could usually always pull myself out. How come I cannot use magic to remedy this situation now? Like, I can always rely on my skills to lift myself out of a situation. And with this one, it just felt like it was just spiraling further and further down rather than being able to lift up.
But going back to what Hestia said earlier about, you know, that's when those your circle, your core group of people can really make or break that situation. I mean, if I didn't, because I felt it, I felt everybody's energies and what everybody was doing for that situation. I felt it. And if I was doing it all on my own, I mean, I don't know if I would be a sane person right now, you know? And so this disconnection that I'm experiencing right now is only this much because of the people that I had around me spiritually. That's my way of saying thank you, guys.
Aww.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like, for real, like, your circle, your people are going to be the ones, like you said, to make or break it. If you have those kind of people to help you pull up, you know, put your big girl panties on and do something, then you're good. And you know you're always going to have that
you know, someone watching your back or be there for you, or just to give you that kick in the ass you need. But it's hard to find those. Like, I feel lucky that I found the group that I've got, you know, you guys and a couple of other friends and stuff. So, like, I can rely on that.
For sure. Like, with me, sometimes it's like when I don't reach out, like, it's sometimes it's like kind of, I don't want to feel like a bother. Or it's like I'll be like, you know, they have their own stuff going on. I don't really want to bother them with my issues.
Well, you know, and that's where, and I think we all feel that way, you know, at some point. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's okay. It's okay to reach out, you know. Reach out to the people that you trust. Reach out to the people that you love. Reach out to the people that you know will have your back. Sometimes that'll be in a mundane way. Sometimes that'll be in a magical way. Sometimes it'll be both.
Sometimes it'll be in a tough love way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm that kind of person and that all needs of that. Is
very
that.
Important.
Yeah.
I will reach out to the tough love ones before I will give. Ask anybody else, because I know the couple people that are going to tell me what I have to hear.
But I do think some of the most noticeable disconnects I've had were when I really needed to learn a valuable life lesson that really changed big things. Like this summer when I was gone, I didn't do anything spiritual. I was spending time with my family in literally the most mundane of ways, but we're all so much closer now. And like, I don't know, it was really like I had to focus on family because I hadn't been for years. I didn't do shit with family ever. We were in the house all the time, year round, just us two. And, you know, before me, he was very social. So I realized that wasn't okay. Like, he was accommodating me, but I was never doing that back. So I felt no need to do anything spiritual at all for months, and was just with family doing family things. And, you know, it's not that bad. Like, I can meet him in the middle. And it was a life lesson I needed to learn, to like meet my husband in the middle. He can't constantly be the only one compromising. Meanwhile, I'm just here living my little hermit crab life. and he's not miserable, but you know, he's definitely happier now that he can see his family more often, because I'm like, oh shit, okay, hanging out with them isn't that bad. They're not that annoying.
Mm-hmm. But that makes a really good point. You know, I think that moments of spiritual disconnection are many times a pivotal point.
Yeah.
And how you deal with that, how you choose to deal with that, and how you grow out of that.
Even small ones like that.
Even small ones, yes. And like you said, a lot of times it's life lessons that we're meant to learn. I think
after this conversation that we're having right now, I feel like going forward, we kind of have another tool in our pocket to understand, like, oh shit, we're hella disconnected right now. What are we supposed to be learning?
Yeah. That's really, really true. We're all dumbfounded now. We're like, okay.
Well, then.
On that note.
Well, on that note, bye.
We got shit to do.
Oh my goodness.
Do we have any other comments that you guys want to mention from the comment section?
Yes. Tammy said, feeling others can become overwhelming and cause me to disconnect, especially before I learned what was mine and what belongs to others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is
energy.
Yeah.
Energy shielding is something that I really, really wish people would focus more on at the beginning, instead of whatever spells you think are cool to do at the time. Really, really learn how to manipulate energy into being able to read it well, not just read it, but read it well, and protect yourself and understand this energy is not my energy, or I don't want to work with this energy, and don't. But I feel like so many people come into it and they're just like, oh, I want to do a love spell, and they don't know anything else. That's the first thing they ever learned.
No, and I did that video on how to even start energy manipulation practices and shielding and stuff, and that's very important, because all that energy does can really confuse you and screw you up.
And you know, we've talked about this before. You know, it's unfortunately for because a lot of this has been a little bit more superficial, more fad-like, I think when people first get exposed to it, you know, I think that the importance of energy, what it does, what it can do, how we use it, how it can be manipulated, how it can affect you, I think a lot of that is dumbed down, you know, into just think about your intention. You know, we've had plenty of just discussions about that. You know, it's, I really wish that, you're absolutely right, Hestia, that people would put way more emphasis on that importance, because at least in the magical system of witchcraft, you know, that is literally where all of our doings come from, you know, in addition to our will. It's will, and it's our, and what we do with those energies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so if you're a newbie, learn your energies.
I missed a really, really cool comment, and I'm mad that I missed it, because it was like super early. Jury says, "Hi, bitchy witchies. This channel is the witchies' friends we never had. Thank you for your content." And I'm sorry, but I love that so much.
Oh, that I love great. That too.
And yes,
oh, thank you so awesome. Much. Yes,
you're my friend now. Hi, I'm your loud, annoying friend now that you never asked for, but you got.
Oh my God. Yeah, once you get her as a friend, that's it. You're stuck, like it or not.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Unless you fuck with her.
Oh yeah, if you cross me, I will not be your friend real quick. I either become family or foe rapidly.
You'll become one of those F's. One of
I
those
have
F
no
words.
Friends. Pick your poison there. Family or foe. Jeez. Anyways, does anybody else have anything to say?
No, I think we said it all, and that was a wonderful comment to wrap it up with.
Yes. Loved it.
Alrighty. Well, don't forget, follow us on Patreon. That's where all of our updates are. Also, if you subscribe on Patreon, we'll have extra content. We have ebooks, BOS printables, lots of stuff to come. Oh yeah, I just put a Chinese New Year pamphlet up there, principal. So yeah.
And anyways, we will have more videos coming out.
Yes, links or videos, live, all that fun stuff.
Yes.
And all if right, weather well. Permits it, Wednesday we will have Mishi live. But she is in the eye of the hurricane area, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not. So I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay. Let's hope it. That's an odd place to have stuff going on. But, you know, I'm sorry, California, but I'm glad it's there, not here.
But yeah, so that'll be this week if Mishi is available with electricity and Wi-Fi.
Awesome. Alrighty, everybody. You guys take care. Have a wonderful week. Check out our videos, and we love you.
Bye.